When Shams met Rumi, he threw his books into a pond. He told him that though the saints don't fail to pray and fast, it wasn't enough. One must strive for the inner truth of these outward practices. So you probably remember, the same happens to Rachungpa. He goes off to fetch water while Milarepa is lighting the fire. But he ends up watching the goats and comes back hours later. And when he gets back, Milarepa is in the process of burning all his books. And Rachungpa is furious. And Milarepa just tells him that it's his own fault because he'd been gone for so long he thought he was dead. And anyway, if Rachungpa wanted entertainment, Milarepa could have provided it. At which point, two suns and moons shone forth from his eyes and ears. From his nostrils streamed lights of five different colours. His tongue became a small eight-petaled lotus. And from his heart rayed forth beams of light which turned into numerous small birds. To which Rachungpa showed no interest, but continued to demand his books back. So don't be a cup with a dry rim.
These forms we seem to be are cups floating in an ocean of living consciousness. They fill and sink without leaving an arc of bubbles or any goodbye spray. What we are is that ocean, too near to see, though we swim in it and drink it in. Don't be a cup with a dry rim.
So Rumi is already a teacher of Islamic law, already a mystic and a poet. But Shams wants Rumi to be empty. Try to be a sheet of paper with nothing on it. Be a spot of ground where nothing is growing. He tells Rumi, want more. Want more than each thing that comes before you. The intellect and the senses perceive cause and effect, whereas the spirit perceives wonder upon wonders. He teaches Rumi Sama, the turning of the whirling dervishes, where inside one is like a mountain, a whole range of mountains, and outside like straw.
Walk to the well, turn as the earth and moon turn, circling what they love. Whatever circles comes from the centre.
Go deep. Go beyond books, beyond thought, beyond partial truths. So Nagarjuna knows the difference between the sublime truths and the partial truths. He warns,
without knowing how they differ, you cannot know the deep. Without relying on conventions, you cannot disclose the sublime. Without intuiting the sublime, you cannot experience freedom.
The Buddha finds himself suspended in silence between a yes and a no, between self and no self, suspended in an empty silence. This deep and empty silence is the middle way. Emptiness is not a place or a state. It's a way of living in the middle, of not settling down anywhere. So Bhante has another term for shunyata, for emptiness. He calls it mysteriousness. Everything is completely mysterious. And the middle way means staying inside the mystery of life, the mystery of self and world. Two Zen monks.
Can you grasp emptiness?
Yes.
How do you do it? You don't know how to grasp emptiness.
How do you do it then? Ouch, you're hurting me!
Believers in emptiness are incurable. Let go.
Buddhas say emptiness is relinquishing opinions. I am free, I cling no more. Liberation is mine. The greatest clinging is to cling like this.
So we don't get to emptiness, to mysteriousness, through mystical abstraction. We have to find our own way to cross over the gap between reason and experience, between our head and our heart.
In the true bewilderment of the soul, he went out beyond any seeking, beyond words and telling, drowned in the beauty, drowned beyond deliverance.
Don't be a cup with a dry rim.
Waves cover the old man. Nothing more can be said of him. Every moment, the sunlight is totally empty and totally full.